Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Shalom, happy Sunday, Yom Rishon Sameach. I can sip a lake of you, your shores and your pebbles, the rustling of your waves and your light that flickers on little waves that embrace my shores with warmth, absorbed in the sand in me. I can drink a river of you. I'll sail into the horizon of your soul. I'll dive into the depths of your heart, enveloping a coral, opening up to your colors. And my fins take me away into your depth. And there, in your depths, you've revealed yourself to me, mother of pearl, covered with remains, and with the caressing of water, the remains will fall off with love. And you will show your beauty to the world, and your light will soar above, fly and land on the shore, feet soaked with light on a silenced shore. I can gulp an ocean of you and fall asleep on the sand by your side. הריני מקבל על עצמי את מצוות עשה של ואהבת לרעך כמוך. I hereby accept to myself the due commandment or the utterance of love your neighbor, your partner, your gardener, your comedian, in the same way that you express love to yourself, focusing on you first, and you shall see your way.
Oh, tiri et kol haderech otel
Shalom, this is the only time I can sing with Mati. Well, for now anyway. Shalom, welcome. Welcome to Abracadabra, create what you speak. My name is Ilan Azulay. Thank you for being here. I'm your host. I'm a spiritual mentor, a sound therapist for you who are ready to reclaim your power. And you know, I have my guest today here is a wonderful, hilarious guest. And another way, another wonderful example of how to reclaim your power. You don't have to be serious all the time. Right?
Oh, yeah.
So I have to...
That's for sure. I always say it even... It kind of made me stronger when I kind of started to stop at life and look at the situation from the comedy mm-hmm. point of view of it. I was like, yeah, what's happening to you is annoying to you, but if you, you know, you step outside of your body and look at the scene, this is pretty funny.
This is like life, you know? This is what we talk about, perception. You know, when we challenge a perception, it's like we're practicing this muscle of imagination, right?
Yeah.
And so how do we look at things? I have here today Or Mash, and Mash is a short name. I'm going to talk about this, but Or is the Wonder Woman of comedy. This is how she's been called, and it's hilarious because she is. I mean, the way that she brings things. So, Or Mash, she was born in Tel Aviv, just like in Israel, and she is a fierce, funny, and full of material based on her diverse background. And let me tell you, if you grew up in Israel, you do have a diverse background.
Yeah. Yes, I can say that.
Hi all, how are you?
How are you? I'm great. I'm so happy to come here. I feel like the first time we met at LA Talk Radio, yeah. I had a really good time. You did the
sound bowls.
The sound bowl treatment with the voice treatment. It was amazing. I felt so relaxed. That's after. And
this was only like 2 minutes.
It was only 2 minutes, oh. But I could feel it. I could feel the vibration.
I'm saying it's only 2 minutes. You can imagine what it is, an hour and a half like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can only imagine.
You can write material when you're out there.
Yeah.
Right, when you are. When you're out there. So
always. But do you meditate when you do the sound thing, or can you write? Like, what's the experience when people go?
Yeah. Well, when I'm saying writing, it's happening. You're not really doing anything. But
right, in your mind.
Yes, yes. The thing with sound, because sound is really is an ultimate medicine for body and soul, because it works on a cellular level, on the skin and on the energetic spots. So what is happening, if you're not relaxed, you will be relaxed. Because it's a guided, it's a session work that I do with guided imagination, as I call it, for the beginning, and as the sound takes over.
Yeah.
So you really don't have to believe. You know, many people, they say, I don't believe in these things. And I say, you know what, you don't have to believe anything. Just accept that are you moving the table?
I'm not moving it.
was his name? All right. Just accept that something new that you may not know appears.
Yeah.
Just to be open for something new.
I mean, people believe in so many things. They believe in love. You can't see love, but you can feel love. They believe in chance. They believe
chance
in,
or choice.
In luck. You know, luck is uh-huh. also something you can't really see, and it's something. It's not a scientific thing.
Wi-Fi, you cannot see. You cannot see laser.
You know, you believe in Wi-Fi, don't you?
I say, love is like Wi-Fi. All you have to do is connect. Right.
Right. I like that. I like that. Maybe you should try comedy.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. <I don't>
No, I do believe actually in sound, because I'll tell you what, like when I drive my car and all of a sudden this like gangster rap song coming up, now I'm feeling like a gangster. I'm on traffic at the 405. I'm a Jewish girl sitting at traffic at the 405. Yet I believe there's dangers to my life, and I'm fighting gangsters. Just because, you know, the ego, it sparks up the ego side. So if the music can push your ego, mm-hmm. it can push many other things. The ego is just one layer. And it's one, by the way, it's one of the most basic layers that you can remove or have. And usually that's kind of what's blocking you too.
Well, the ego, you know, ego is really a funny animal, you know. It's a funny animal. They teach us, you know, in school about Satan and the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination,
yeah.
and everything. You know, and where all this resides?
Yeah.
Here. It all resides here. It's all our perception, how you look at things, you know. You had a skit about, telling your mom that you're doing comedy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And here's the thing with some people in Israel, and especially people from like our parents, older generation, and some also this generation that still got pulled in with this magnet of old paradigm, right?
Yeah.
No. What do you mean comedy? What do you mean laugh? You can't laugh. You know, it's not like, look at babies. When a baby is joyous, or a kid is happy, is like, good. You're happy. Oh, that's great. And if the kid is sad, say, oh, darling, why are you sad? You take a candy. But if you, as adults, if you're smiling and you're just walking around with a smile on your face, they think you're crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you have to be. Come on. No, you're not really happy. Now tell me really what's going on.
What's going on with you? If you have this smile on your face for no reason.
For
you're
no
like,
reason.
Is
no,
he
no.
High?
Something is wrong.
Something
right?
Is
something
wrong.
Is wrong with
yeah,
you.
It's like the joke.
What joke?
At the skit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
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 You look
something
so happy.
Wrong.
What's
right.
wrong?
That's right. What's wrong with you? You look so happy. Well, something has to be wrong with you, because this is where we come from, yeah?
Yeah.
And you had I liked your skits. You had this thing with the target.
What?
With target.
What is that?
Target.
Oh, target. Target. Yeah. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That
I have a theory that target is really a test. Yeah. <Is it? laughs> Cuz you go there and you have, and your goal or your target is to buy this one thing. Or two things, whatever. You have a list.
Yeah.
And the game is, can you stick
to the plan?
That's the target. That if the target is, let's say, toilet paper, how many distractions am I going to go on the way and I'm not going to get them and I'm not going to look? You know, the hardest one is the scented candles aisle. I always fall for that one.
because the old, you think
it's
that
like a black hole, it never ends. They have another scent and another scent and another scent. I was like, this is nice, this one's a maybe. It's 45 minutes now you're sniffing scent candles.
Yeah, but
in Target, you wasted your life.
But the thing is, when you go out of the store, it's not the scent that you wanted, because
really?
you're so mixed up with all
you're
the
so
scents that
up,
are there,
you don't even know.
Oh yeah, this is this.
You lost this, your sense of direction.
Exactly. you lost your sense of sense, right?
Sense of sense. there's no sense of what just happened.
There's no sense.
There's no sense in sniffing scents for 45 minutes. And I'm like, people texting me, I'm like, what are you doing? I'm busy.
I'm sniffing.
I'm busy. I don't tell them what I'm doing. But it's very important. I was like, I'm already here. I have to get something, right? All these aisles. I always saw it as like the game of Target. It's like a game. If it was a war, then the battlefield would be these aisles.
Yeah.
How can you get out?
That's true. That's true. And the thing is that it's never, anyway, never clear. It's never clear where to go. Like, and it doesn't make sense, you know, like talking about sense, right? It doesn't make sense. Some things are near certain, but anyway, it's really a propaganda. To make you get lost.
Lost. And it's funny because it's called Target, and that's the one place you get lost.
Right?
You lose Target.
And then when you get to the cashier, they ask you to sign a credit card. And then you just want to get out of it, and you're full of scent of candles, and you have everything, and then you sign up for this thing, and then
sign up for what? What did they have you do?
No, no, they didn't have me do anything. I didn't sign anything. But they ask you all the time. You know,
I don't
sign for this.
Oh yeah, no,
that,
I don't do that because I'm like the game would not follow me home. Yeah. I know when I go to play the game of Target, I go to my house, and they're not gonna get me in my emails, my phone. Nothing.
It's like those websites when they tell you put the website, put your email address,
newsletter.
And you get
no.
But you know what you can do?
What
you can do? blah 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 at gmail.com. because they're only looking for the domain. But then you get the access.
Access for what?
For whatever you think you want.
For more useless shit. Sorry for my language. Well, useless shit.
For what you think. And if it is not useless, then you're giving them the real email.
Pointless. It makes no sense. I would catch myself. You know, one time I remember I was sad and depressed, and I was like, you know, just go to Target. I don't know why.
That's the culture.
I don't know why. I found myself going to Target, and I go into Target, and then for some reason I see more people in the same state of mind.
That's
like, there was this woman, she was looking at all these plates, and I was like, she feels exactly, she's as lost as I am right now. Looking at all these plates, you don't need them.
And then you just have more stuff and more. And how
more stuff.
Hevel havalim. Yeah, it's like nonsense of nonsense because everything stays here. I'm telling you, this is.
But this is the country of stuff.
It is the country. But here's the thing, you know, I was when I lived in Boston for about 14 years.
Yeah.
And I moved to LA 3 years ago, right? Oh. About 3.5 years ago,
yeah.
August of 16.
Yeah.
Right. I think you did the same thing around the same time, no?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that, right? Yeah. And that was the time. It was actually a test. I felt of coming here and continuing to develop spiritually and to see how the things that were so important or appeared to be important are just getting.
Yeah,
it's just like, bleh. You know, I haven't been to Target even once since I'm in LA.
Really?
Even once.
Yeah.
And in Boston, I was like, there is the Target, there is the other Target. There is me.
Well, the weather's different too in Boston, right?
It's so cold, even the penguins are not out.
So there's nowhere really to go outdoors, kind of like to, you know,
well,
nature.
In the winter.
Yeah, in the summer it's nice.
The summer is nice, but here's the thing. You know, when I lived in Boston, I came to visit my kids in LA. all the time was laughing at the people that were at the 60 degrees have a jacket,
yeah,
right? But then you move here and then your body temperature gets used to it.
Yeah,
you know, it's natural. But there in Boston, you know, it's, or the East Coast or whatever it's called, your body gets used to it. So I actually used to love, I loved driving in the snow.
Oh yeah, that's so nice. When I love the snow. It's
right?
So fresh.
When it's outside of me.
Yeah.
It's on my car. That's okay. Not inside my pants and all that, and the shoes and everything, right? So so tell me. So why did you
why
are you here? I mean, why did you leave Israel?
Well, do you want the short version or the long version? How much time do we have here? Really? I'll do the medium. I'll do the medium. Well, I did everything right. You know, I went to college, started a career. I was in online gaming. It was very nice.
You had an online company. You were a developer, right?
Yeah. I had an amazing time. I did well. I was working. I had a fiance. I had friends. I had everything. And then one day, I kind of stopped and started questioning life. Not questioning life, but questioning what is it about? You know, is this what I'm going to do for the rest of my life? Just go to this job, have kids, the kids will have kids, and then I was curious. I wanted to learn more. I was just curious.
Yeah.
And that curiosity being unfulfilled, I didn't fulfill my soul's question. I didn't answer it. I started getting sad and depressed until one day I got sick. I got the flu, and I didn't get well from the flu. And I went to the doctor. It was a Russian doctor, I remember. And he looked at me and he goes, "Are you stressed?" And I'm like, "What?
What does that have what to do you mean?
What do you mean? Stress? No, I'm not stressed." And he goes, "Listen, you're not. It's just a flu. You're not getting better because your emotional state. There's some. Go home. I'm not going to give you anything. I want you to go home and to think about how to be happy. Just be chill and happy. And you know." So I go home, and that was
now. When was that?
That was back in 2015. So I go home. And that was like a real slap in the face for me because I was like, Jesus, like I said Jesus, I'm a Jew, but like, it was funny because like my mother always time would just say Jesus when like bad shit would happen to her. I was like, why would you say that? We're Jews. She was like, well, it's only when bad shit happens. So.
Well, but he was a Jew, so it's okay.
He was a Jew too. Anyway. Sounds okay. So I was like, geez, like I did everything by the book. I went to school. I'm doing well for myself. What the hell is this? Why is this happening to me? And I look at the sky and I remember my soul was kind of like surrender, in a state of surrender. Because I didn't know the answer, and I surrendered to it. And then I had this sudden idea of like, if you want to know the answer, you have to shake your soul up. You have to do something that scares you. But in a good way. I'm not talking about jumping off a building. I'm talking about some sort of experience. And then this crazy idea of doing stand-up comedy popped up. And then directly, like a second later, my mother's voice in my head. Every Jewish person has a Jewish voice in their head that tells them, this is the worst idea I've never heard in my life. This is what? Stand-up comedy.
And you get paid for that.
You know, I've got to get it paid. I'm not paying for this nonsense. Right? So I got this voice in my head. But after like a week that I kind of marinated with and massaged the idea, I was like, you know what? Fine. I'm going to go do it. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to give myself a story that one day I could tell to my grandkids. I'm going to do it like the movies. I'm going to do it in New York, or I'm going to do it in L.A. And I found this class, this writing class, and you write for about a month and a half.
UCLA,
and
then you have it was?
No, that was after.
After.
You write stand-up. You write the material for about a month and a half. Then you have a showcase. I was like, great.
Oh, cool.
Great. I'll go there for a month and a half. I'll do the showcase.
Yeah, cool.
I came here. And it was a crazy ride. That month and a half was life-changing.
Wow.
Really. And then the end of it, I went on stage. And you know what? That was the first moment that I didn't feel like I was overthinking things. My soul was at peace. So I was like, you know what? This beats antidepressants. So how about I just do this until it doesn't make me feel good? And if it does, I'll do it for the rest of my life, you know? But that's kind of like the flow. I go with the flow with it. I don't force it. I don't, as long as it makes you, and it's hard in LA because once you go into that, there's the competition and and everybody's trying to make it. And so sometimes a pure passion becomes work.
But here's the thing, which is wonderful. You know, it's wonderful how, you know, in bullet points you went in your life, you know.
Yeah.
you know, the funny thing is that, as the way I see that, you created kind of a bubble within a bubble, because you came from a bubble in Israel. It's a sort of a bubble,
yeah.
You know, and you went into a bubblier bubble, even more bubblier, in a place where it cultivates judgment, it cultivates competition, it cultivates everything else.
Yeah.
So it is like you are creating your own niche in here. So it sounds like that the more noise you have, the quieter you are.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, that's
that's
a good observation.
Yeah.
I feel like if I don't do enough, I get sad.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
Takes one to know.
I'm not busy enough. If I don't do enough, if I'm not, you know, and my name in Hebrew does mean light. I think that was the first time that I felt like I was fulfilling kind of like my name, because I was kind of like lighting people
yeah.
up with the jokes
yeah.
and with the humor. I remember one time there was a couple that came to me, and it was during the brush fires last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I said some ISIS joke, and they were Jewish. They were Jewish, and they came to me after the show, and you're like, you know what? We've been kind of down for the past week, but with your ISIS joke really made us feel better. Like, well, that's what I'm here for. And that's the greatest reward, you know? And wow. It's hard. The hardest part about it, I'd say, is the daily stuff, you know?
What stuff?
Just...
The target things?
No, it's not the joke writing. It's not the performance. That's the icing on the cake. No, I know,
the target stuff, yeah.
The actually dealing with that and looking at life a certain way and trying to, you know, sometimes it's lonely. You're away from your family. Sometimes it's this. It's the daily kind of little stuff that you have to go with.
Yeah, you know, it's funny and not funny. It's funny not in a comical way. Yeah. The way the things are, because everything here is like, this is, I didn't prepare you for what we're going to do here or what we're talking about. I was like, you know, and I was thinking about this, like, you know, should I call it, tell it? I said, nah, just let's discover. Let's whatever, you know. And what I do here in the show and really in the work is bring ideas to challenge our perception and how do we communicate between us to us. First to us, the love yourself after the Racha Kamocha. First, the focus on us, and then to the other. And many times when we go into this realm, if there is no laughter in it, then it becomes a very serious serious presence. Yeah. You know, but here is the thing. I don't know why I said that now. I was thinking about something else. But so. Your name, I don't know why I said that, but I will find the edge to that thing in a few.
Yeah. My name means light.
Oh, your name means light.
My last name means Messiah.
Well, it's not Mash. It's actually a Mashiach. Short for Mashiach, right? Yeah. So this is the light of the Messiah. Now, and you're a woman.
Yeah. Which I believe if the Messiah will ever come, it will be a woman. So it's many times.
Well, or today.
Yeah.
You know,
the Messiah of today needs to be a woman. Definitely.
No, or so here is the thing, and this is where we're going, where I want to go into, right? Because you're a woman, and I don't know about the Messiah being a man or woman. I don't know the Messiah being a being necessarily, because it's really all levels of consciousness that we are. You know, we arise, we ascend from one place to the other, and acting. Now I'm kind of finding the corner. The acting is really kind of a self therapy. I see it as such, because I've done here and there, and I see I think it's one of a very effective, if you're aware of where you are. Like, you need noise to be quiet, and when you're quiet, you're able to produce and you're able to bring out the light in you and to bring out the gift. So it is. So it is really kind of a, it's just like almost like a self-therapy, because you're practicing to look, in your case at least, to look at things in a different way.
Yeah.
And so what happens if you come into something, do you find sometimes that you write stuff that you actually don't agree on, and things that you didn't like, things that you were not dealing with it in the past? Do you find that through comedy you can talk about things that you will not talk otherwise, almost like a ventriloquist?
Yeah. I mean, that's it. I mean, if there's something I don't like that I wrote that I don't like, obviously I'm not going to talk about it. But
no, but I'm talking about an issue that is let's say taboo or like for you personally.
That's what's comedy about, you know, at the end of the day. You can, I don't do political stuff.
Good.
I don't do political stuff because I just, it's not my thing. I approach the human behavior, how sometimes silly it is, and how and you know, the story behind and the reasoning behind why we do the things we do, and why do I think it's silly, and what's funny. And it's more like behaviorism than politics and stuff like that.
So you can take it like in a relationship, right?
Yeah.
Like when somebody, when your partner triggers you, right? Or somebody else, because it's all relationships, right?
Yeah.
This time was all really about bringing all that doesn't work for us and releasing and what doesn't serve us. Who do you not want to sit at your table and who do you want to sit at your table, so to speak?
Yeah.
Right? And so letting that...
you keep losing your thread of thought.
Yeah. What was I saying?
You were saying, but the topics. Yeah, I feel like you should challenge yourself, especially when you reach a point where they give you a stage and they give you a microphone. What are you going to say? What are you going to do with it? So you can go all kinds of routes. You can go in the route of like, let's brighten people's day and just make them feel good. Because maybe they had a hard day and they came from work and they got a babysitter and they just want to laugh. So let's not, you know, let's just say some silly things that's going to make them feel light and good about themselves. And there's the type of comedy of like, no, I want to talk about, you know, the Me Too movement and I want to talk about this and I want to talk about that, which is also great. But it's, I feel like it you know, there's the George Carlin route and I don't know what's like a silly, you know, whatever the comic doing like silly stuff, maybe Carrot Top or something. I don't know. Like there's all kinds of things you can do in comedy and I feel they're all important because sometimes you don't have to talk about something profound.
You know, sometimes a banana is just a banana.
And I heard somebody tell me that maybe you would know about this, that in the Kabbalah or in the Torah, they say that it's a mitzvah to make people laugh.
Yeah. And you were only, the whole work that we're doing, you know, you study the Torah or just being conscientious and mindful about everything that happens, must be with joy.
Yeah.
Must be. Now, so now, it's funny because how can you tell somebody, go be happy?
No, you have to make them happy. You can't tell them.
But if
it's
you make
like
them,
I would go on stage and say, okay, guys, now you need to laugh. No, I need
no,
need
I mean,
to
we're talking about the stage, but if we're taking it like the stage is like life, right?
Yeah.
It's like in life. Like I cannot, I'm telling you, you know what, in order to work the Torah and to learn study, you have to be happy. You have to be joy. You have to be ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. The thing is, how can we make somebody, how can you make spiritual, energetic
I think
laughter,
being,
right?
I think being happy is also a point of gratitude.
Yeah.
It's a point of knowing I could have been so many different realities I could have been at right now, but the reality that I'm at, I'm grateful for it.
Wonderful.
Because this is not happening. That didn't happen. And maybe it doesn't have to be specific, but you know, and I'm, you know, so being, I think that they refer to a state of just being grateful for what didn't happen.
For what is happening.
What is happening and also what didn't happen.
That's right. Because
when you say Modani, some of it, there's a Ben Ayun song that he says, I thank you also for the things you didn't give me.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So sometimes, and that's the way that most of the times, you know, comedians, it's known that they can get depressed and they can get sad. And I feel like it's out of when you toy with happiness, you also toy with sadness. There's a certain balance and comedian experience that a lot because what they
that's
do
great,
is they take a situation that could have been traumatic for them or could have been dramatic and it's pure drama and they say, okay, what's the funny in it? So when you mess with so much funny, you also mess with the sadness. And so they absorb everything and they project the good and the happy and the laughter. But they are still remain with the sad. Because they had to analyze the situation, you know.
Because
what I mean?
They're disconnecting from here.
Yeah.
There is the disconnect. You know, the longest distance we'll ever make is this 18 inches. You know.
That's true.
From here to here, yeah.
That's true. So when I do guess, and I have that too. I have you know times where I get really low or get really sad, and the way I become happy is remind myself of what didn't happen, all the bad things that could have happened, and how good I have it right now. So just the gratitude, the being grateful for what you have, that will make you happy.
This is a very important part because I talked about it in a few programs, and really the first tool to cultivate, to to start moving the wheels of being in a positive state is to just being grateful for every small thing that happens, starts in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, and that starts moving these wheels, you know, this starting to churn these wheels.
You're like,
and then you start, because you can't really be angry when you're grateful, if you're authentic about it.
Yeah.
And you can't be angry, and you can't be just be nasty if you're really thankful about something. You know,
it's really sometimes it's hard to be, you know, but it's sometimes like, I don't want to be grateful. This is what happened. I'm stuck at the 405. I'm not grateful for shit.
But everything is an opportunity.
But I was like, yeah, but you're stuck at the 405 because you can drive, because you have a car, because you're healthy. You're driving. Where are you driving to? Oh, to see your kids. Okay.
Well, you know, but everything is an opportunity. You know, if this doesn't have, how many times you were in a place that you didn't arrive somewhere on time, and it was actually really good that you didn't arrive somewhere on time.
Yeah, and you never know, you know, and you'll never know what. I remember I was stuck in Uruguay. That's a whole different story that I'll tell a different time. But what happened is I was stuck in Uruguay, and we were going to this beach. And I say Birkat HaDerech. It was a Saturday.
The blessing of the way.
Even though you can't drive if you're religious, but I'm not religious and I don't believe in Judaism like that. So I say Birkat HaDerech, and the second after I finish the prayer, we're stuck in the mud. And the guy looks over to me, his name was Moses, and he goes, yeah, well, that's what your prayer got us. We're stuck now.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking in my head, well, you don't know what would have happened to me where you were driving us.
Yes.
What would have happened there?
That's true.
So if we get stuck in the mud, you know, sometimes understand that the mud is right now saving you.
That's right. This is great. This is good.
You know what I mean? That mud is saving you for something that could have happened that shouldn't happen to you.
Absolutely. You know, I have when I lived in Boston, I was supposed to come see my kids, visit my kids. I live in Boston. They lived here in L.A. And I was waiting for this for a long time because at that time we didn't have a good relationship with my ex-wife at that time. I mean, the not good relationship at that time. And I was really bummed, and I had this flight. I booked, I had my ticket, and I, something at work that you either change your flight or you lose your job or something like that, right? So I had, because there was a project, so I had to bite the bullet, pay the money, and reschedule the flight for a week later. And the original flight was flight 25 from Boston to LA that I was supposed to be in.
What happened to that plane?
The plane crashed in the Twin Towers.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I didn't know that. I knew that there was a plane. Yeah. I just didn't know it was
Yeah, it was famous. That flight, 7:30 in the morning.
I can't believe you.
And then, well, it's your choice. Well,
I believe you, but this is unreal. Wow.
No, and I had the same flight the next week, and the next week, the same flight, you know, and it flew, but the plane was empty. Like,
yeah.
Like, literally, like, the plane was empty. I sat in the, first class, right? But you don't, you know, we don't understand. And this is the thing, is like you said earlier, and this is what it is. We see everything here. We are like in a Monopoly game. You know, you play Monopoly, you don't pay attention to anything. We play Monopoly now. I want you to go broke. I want you to go into jail, right? And it's so, we make it so real because we're so in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is only a game. And the same rich or not rich people, we all come and go back to the same, into the same box. And the thing is that when we don't see what we can see, we don't see tomorrow never happened yet. And many times we also get anxiety attacks because of things. Well, what anxiety happens? Something that didn't happen before.
Mm-hmm.
Something didn't happen. Depression is about something there. Yeah. Anxiety is there, and we're never here.
Yeah,
you know, we're either there or there. And it's like this this bottle. I see this bottle as a full bottle. It's just half of it or a quarter of it. I don't see it. You know, mm-hmm. So it's like when things happen, when things are anything, mm-hmm. especially something that is putting us back, it's really, that is the time where the work is done. That is the time where we do work on ourselves to to see what's the opportunity. Everything is what's the possibility. What's the opportunity in every situation? Understanding that everything is for the good of your journey. Did you know that? That everything is always for the good of your journey, or did it just landed on you when you came to LA? Or when you saw that Russian doctor with the...
I believe so, and the struggles are even better. It's kind of like they say in comedy, when you have a bad show, that's when your comedy gets better.
Mm.
Not when you have the good show.
Because it's when you're uncomfortable, you grow, right?
Well, yeah, when you have a bad show, then you don't want to have that again, so you realize exactly the things you learn.
Because you don't want to do.
Because you learn, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So... You know, I was... So here's the thing. So you are... Moroccan, Yemenite? What are you?
I'm Egyptian and Moroccan.
Egyptian and Moroccan. What a combination. Well, no, it's a great combination. So I know the Moroccan side from both parts. Both my parents are Moroccan.
Yeah.
Now, as a guy, I had an issue extracting myself as much as I could from certain dogmatic thoughts.
Yeah.
You... As a girl that is expected to marry, and you kind of start walking that path, but you were just walking, you really didn't want to be there. But how was, I mean, I know your mom was upset and everything, but how was your tear out of that? Because I see that, like, especially because you're a woman in Israel, even in these times, I mean, there are some people that are enlightened and some people that are underlightened, all right, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, but it's like, I see it like you're a cotton on a thorn. Try to remove a cotton from a thorn. You have all, everything is stayed. So how was this really disconnect? Or is there a disconnect, or did you just channel it differently, this connection?
I think that, you know, in the beginning, because I was on the route of have a job, get married, get it, and I changed it to move to L.A., you know, do comedy, be single. And in the beginning, not make any money. And in the beginning, I feel like my parents were concerned and they didn't agree to, you know, didn't really agree with it out of love and care for my well-being and future.
The way that they see that.
Yeah. But at the end, they got to know their daughter much better. They mm-hmm. got to know who Or really is. You know what I mean? And now they love me for that. And I feel now my father knows I'm a silly human being. And I like being silly. And I've always... I never did stuff the way people do it. Mm. Even since I was in kindergarten, the teachers would come to my parents and be like, hey... Now, in good things, too, I was in art school.
Oh.
And my stuff would always be very different.
What, Talmailin?
No, it was a Gordon. Oh. It was like an elementary school.
Okay.
From a very young age, I remember there was like a test, and they gave you all these things, and all the kids, they said, okay, do whatever you want. You have mm-hmm, 30 mm-hmm. minutes, do whatever you want. All uh-huh. these kids built these, you know, these bridges and all these things, and then and I took the material and just put it on the canvas blank like that. And the head of the art one came to my mother and says, you know, your daughter is an artist.
Should you like to hear
and
that?
Because when my mom saw it, she saw all the beautiful things that the kids made. And I just took the material raw and put it on the blank thing. And she yelled at me. She was like, what are you doing? Look at all these amazing things that he did. And you just did. And I was like, that's what I did. And I thought that I fucked up. And I'm sorry. But then the art teacher came to my mother and he was like, your daughter is very creative. And she was like, oh.
Oh, she is?
Yes, of course she is creative.
I knew that.
So, you know, I think that from a very young age, they kind of got it. But then, you know, as a kid, you can't really do what you want. But, you know, when you're in your 20s and in your 30s, you can go and say, you know what? No, I'm going to. Am I doing this? I'm sorry. You're going to say, no, because I'm excited.
I know. Me too.
You can say, no, I'm going to do things. I'm going to live life the way I want to. And I'm not harming anybody. And, you know, guess what? I'm making people happy. So my dad actually thinks now my videos are hilarious and he shares them. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Both parents are alive, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
no, they're not together.
But they're alive.
They're
alive. Yeah, wonderful, yeah. Wonderful. Yeah, yeah. When did they get divorced? Well, in your age, I mean.
I was 15.
Was that part of the turning point?
For
you as an artist?
I guess. I think that I kind of, I was relieved, if that makes any sense.
Well, it makes sense to you.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, I was really, I thought it was a good, decision. Because I felt like, you know, I felt like there was a lot of love between them, but I don't think it worked out when it did. And like you said, things happen for a reason. Now both of them are happily in new relationships, and my father has kids, and my mother is traveling the world with her boyfriend, and they're both happy. So I think sometimes you think that something that just happened is negative, but like you said, you never know. What's the mud keeping you?
Why I love that mud thing, you know?
You know, you never know. You never know. It was so crazy. It was like literally a second. When I said amen, boom, stuck in the mud, can't get out.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And then they succeeded to get the car out, and then they got stuck in the mud again after 30 seconds.
And
wherever we were headed, I wasn't supposed to go.
Did you arrive to where
No.
you were supposed to? So you didn't?
Never.
Oh, wow, wonderful.
Never.
I mean, wonderful. Yeah, wonderful. You're here.
Yeah. So stuck in the mud, never got there. And I really learned. And that's what also the point where I kind of learned how to look at my situation and the comedy in it. Because if I... And that's an exercise that I feel people can do is there's a me, what's happening to me mm-hmm. right now, which is usually... horrible. I'm stuck in this mud. I'm in nowhere. Mm-hmm. I might die here in this I don't even know where I'm at, right? I'm
that's
cold.
The Monopoly game,
I'm cold. Yeah. I'm alone. That's what's happening yeah. to me.
Yeah.
But then if you succeed to kind of snap out of that first layer of self, which is me, and what's happening to her, mm-hmm. What's happening to her is that she's in a trip and they get stuck in the mud and all these things happening. And then I could see it kind of like from a bird eye or mm-hmm. a director's mm-hmm. view. And as a director, I was like, you know, this is a pretty funny scene. Mm-hmm. If I would have seen it in a comedy, I'd be like, oh, that's exactly. That's pretty funny. So that was the first moment that I kind of believed in the mud thing. And I learned how to go to the other layer of self. And that helped me a lot as a comedian.
So when you write, are you high when you write? Are you stoned when you write? Do you smoke weed?
I do. I do sometimes.
Not in Israel, though.
No.
Yeah, it's illegal, though.
No. I don't like breaking the law. But you know what? In here in California, I feel like there has been a lot of... you know, this generation is very unique. Mm-hmm. In the way that it's very open and it's very authentic to what is real, what is the truth mm-hmm. behind things. It's the internet. Of course, there's bad, you know, parts of but I'm not going to talk about that. What I'm going to talk about is the generation really wants to gather their information and they really research the things. And the generation came up and went, you know what? No, I don't think weed can kill you. And I don't think weed can cause an addiction because of these statistics and the information is accessible. Excellent. So to this generation be like, actually what the church or what the government or what, you know, all these techniques they used to scare us, to control us. Now the generation comes up and say, I read otherwise mm-hmm. and there's researchers and there's scientists and I can back up my opinion with all these things that I have access to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part of legalization. That and also there's a lot of money behind weed right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. No, but here's the thing. It's part of a whole with the new generations, like especially after they were born in the 90s, late 90s and 2000,
yeah.
Crystal kids and kids that have already this access to this like extra chromosome, like this extra understanding,
yeah.
you know, things that I know I had to go through and I know others that have to go through from shifting from an old paradigm to a new paradigm.
Yeah.
And doing this mud work and getting stuck in the mud 3 times, 5 times, 10 times to realize that when the mud happens, it's not as dumb as it,
yeah.
it can
be. There's a reason for it.
There is a reason for that.
Yeah.
Right? So, but they're born with that.
Yeah.
They're born. And many times, I remember I used to say, and I sometimes say that, I was like, go build a country with this generation. Yeah. But you don't need to. Because the generation that built the country was the way that they were, like our parents.
This generation, I feel like they're building reality. Every generation builds their reality, but this generation builds virtual reality.
A virtual reality, so it's
they
not...
There's a whole other layer of world, if you notice.
Absolutely.
Of things that are happening that are changing this reality too, if you want to go into it. But in terms of the weed, I do think that even though it's legal, I think it's very individual. Because I have friends who are artists that they smoke weed often every day, and that's part of their day, and that and they're functioning with it. And I have people that I know that should not. Mm-hmm. Because it makes them really unfunctioning, and you know, so I think that everything is very individual. There's no hard yes or hard no. There's no, you know, it's just individual.
Well, I just remember your skit that you said that you. I don't know if
I
you
stopped
wrote. You stopped smoking weed that time. Yeah,
yeah.
You were like
all
the time.
And found out I'm just lazy. By the way, that came up from that is funny, but it came from pain. It came from real pain that the Jewish voice told me, you're no good. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, I'm not productive, so it's probably the weed. Mm-hmm. And then I stopped smoking weed, and then I figured out it's my behavior. Mm. I have behavior patterns that are not helping me succeed. And then I got so down on myself because I was like, you're worthless, you're a failure, you're this. And then that line came, I stopped smoking weed and figured out I'm just lazy, which is funny. But it came from a place of self.
Yeah.
You look at yourself and you look at what's wrong with, not what's wrong, but you
what
know.
What you were believed and told that this is wrong.
Yeah. And so it's a serious situation when a person looks at himself and goes, oh, it's not the weed. The problem is in me. So when you realize that, that's a hard thing to realize. But when you turn that into a joke, but it's so true. You turn that into a joke. It's funny.
You know, but the thing is, it's a problem because you believe it's a problem.
Yeah. I don't know.
If it's productive and works for you.
It's not. That's the thing.
Oh, okay.
That's
then it's
thing.
A problem.
So when you realize, I kind of analyze and you go like, okay, I've got some behavioral patterns that are not good for my future.
Yeah.
Maybe some of them are, but some of them are not. This is not. I should change them. So now, okay, this is the real problem. It's not the weed.
Okay, it's not the weed. Oh, ay, ay, ay. you know, the entire creation is encoded in the Hebrew alphabet.
Really?
Yes, in the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Or, for example, is light. Aleph, Vav, Resh, right? And you have the dot above the Vav. You put the dot down, it's Avir, right? And you add the Yud. And so here you have two very important components of our existence, light and oxygen.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen.
What are we?
Yeah,
oh,
man.
No.
Yeah.
It's such a good time. Time
we'll
flew.
Do it again.
Yes.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. Do you have a show coming up?
I don't have a show coming up. I'm recording my podcast tomorrow. Oh, I do have a show at November at the Ice House and at 21st of October at the Comedy Store.
October 21st at the Comedy Store. Oh, that's great. Oh, I'm not here. I'm in Israel. Oh,
no.
Shish kebab.
Oh. Okay. There'll be more to come.
What's your website?
Ormash.world. I'm building it right now.
Okay.
So speaking about the generation of builders and laziness.
So it's ORM MASH.
Best visit me at my Instagram. It's I'm Ormash. IMORMASH. It's a picture of a bunny holding a microphone. And that's where I communicate the most.
Okay, wonderful. Oh, you've been a light here. You brought a light. It's wonderful. Thank you for being here. Thank you for opening up, for courage to just be. Just be.
Thank you for teaching me. I learned a lot of stuff, and I'm really grateful for you.
You're welcome. I'm grateful for you, and I'm grateful for God. Thank God for bringing you here and for connecting us. And arrivederci.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. And
shalom.
Shalom, shalom, and we'll see you next week.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only.